Just a little disclaimer, many of you know, but I live on the train track. So if you hear a locomotive going through my share, you'll know that you're not hearing things. There really is a locomotive going by. Anyway, so grateful to be here. And like it always happens when somebody says you can speak on the topic of your choice, 100 gajillion different things go through my mind. And it's really hard for me to determine one thing. But what came to mind this morning was continuing to grow along spiritual lines. And the line in the big book on page 60, where it says, the point is that we are willing to grow along spiritual lines. And, you know, I think back and when I first got clean and sober, I probably would have been like jaw dropped if someone said to me, Carol, in order to get clean and sober, just to be able to stop drinking compulsively and using drugs compulsively, you're going to have to grow along spiritual lines. I probably would have just fell over backwards and just maybe laughed. I don't know, maybe fainted or just like said, you must be cuckoo, because I didn't have a clue that that would be the solution or the answer to what looked like my problem, which for me was the inability to be able to live life or manage my life in my own strength and power. And it looked like it was the drugs. It looked like it was the drinking. It looked like it was the compulsive overeating. It looked like all the external things. And I had no clue that it was really a condition deep within inside me that could only be treated on the spiritual and not on the, you know, not on the horizontal plane. It was going to be a miraculous occasion and a divine happening for me. And I think about, you know, now that I know so much differently, I'm just so grateful. And, you know, I met my higher power when I was 43. I met my higher power. And I didn't know it was God. And on to share with you guys that they were actually taking my third child away from me at birth, because I couldn't not drink. I could not not drink. I could not not use. And I remember the doctors and the people in the hospital, they said, Carol, you know, you only have to do one thing. You only have to do one thing to get your infant child back. And I remember we were in the hospital and they gave me a little sheet of paper and they told me what that requirement was. And it was to not pick up a drink and to not pick up a drug. And I remember literally being floored because it was like the first time ever in my life, I knew in my innermost self that I couldn't do what they were asking. And that was, you know, that was like my, I call it my coming to Jesus moment, because I knew that in my power, I wouldn't be able to do what they were asking me. And although I was shaking my head and saying, sure, I'll do it. I'll do everything I can. I'll show up. I'll do whatever you ask me. But inside in my gut, I knew I was going like, I can't do it. And that was the first time that I ever knew I couldn't do what I wanted to do. I couldn't do what I wanted to do. And I never wanted to do it actually before that moment. It had never been a consideration that I had that I wanted, because I couldn't imagine living my life without some form of substance, some sort of type of relief. You know, the big book talks about that sense of ease and comfort we get. And man, I got ease and comfort. I got that ease and comfort that I needed desperately all my life. And I'm talking all my life. I remember as a little child, even needing that ease and comfort, not knowing that, not being able to articulate, but I can go back as far as I can remember and knowing that inside there's a space inside of me that is just desperate for ease and comfort. And, you know, and I did the best I could, and I found remedies that somewhat worked until they didn't work anymore. And, you know, here I am in this hospital room at 43, and they're taking away my child at birth. And, you know, I look back and I think, wow, what a journey it took me to finally be willing to be able to admit my hopelessness of my condition and be ready to accept spiritual help. And my higher power came to me. They took my child away from me. And I remember going back to the hospital room and I remember thinking, you know, oh my God, what am I going to do? Oh my God, what am I going to do? Well, they had just given me the list of what I was supposed to do. You go home and you don't drink and you don't use, you know, and I'm thinking like, well, Okay, I got those directions, but I think I'll start tomorrow because today is just a little too painful, you know. And I remember my best thought was just one more time, just one more time, and then I'll do what they're asking me, thinking in my mind that I would have the power to do it the next day, not knowing that I did not have the power. And so I'm just so grateful. You know, my higher power came into my life actually, and it came into my life. I had an experience like Bill Wilson did, that my higher power came into my life in the hospital room and had a moment with me, and as clear as could be, and offered me my life back, or offered me to be able to turn in another direction and take on a life I'd never experienced before. And I feel like it was an invitation from my higher power to go on living the way I've been living, or to turn and live in a different way. And for the first time in my whole life, 43 years, I made a decision that I'd never made before. And I turned and walked towards the power that reached into my life that day. And I'm telling you, everything changed just like it did for Bill. The obsession and the compulsion were removed from me completely to drink or use again, something that was absolutely miraculous. I mean, I was a person who drank since the age of 13. I was a person who shot needles in their arms morning, noon, and night. I was a person who could not manage a day without a drink or a drug. That was the beginning for me. And I look back and I think, when I read this line, you know, oh, the requirement is to grow along spiritual lines, I would be like, oh, that is goofy. That's not how you stop using, you know, you put it down, you know, that's how you stop using. But anyway, I'm so grateful that that was the beginning for me, and an introduction to the kindness of a loving higher power. And for me, that was the introduction that I needed, because, you know, I mean, go figure, you meet God at your worst moment, you know, when they're taking your baby away because your baby's toxic. Because, you know, and then the neonatal intensive care unit, because you have not been able to care for that child inside of yourself. And so it was mind-blowing to me that a higher power would reach out to me at that point in time and offer love and strength and help. And that was the beginning for me. And, you know, I feel like my higher power just came in and picked me up out of that muck and that mire and set my feet on solid ground. I don't think I would have been able to get on that solid ground by myself. And that was the beginning. And I look back and I think, you know, wow, what a journey it took all of those 43 years and that pain and that suffering to get me to the place where I would be willingly turn and go in a direction that I'd never been in before. And, you know, the minute that I did that, a woman came in and said, there's hope for people like you, Carol, in the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that was a beginning for me. And, you know, it was the beginning of the journey. And, you know, I learned so much in the early years of recovery. You know, I'm so grateful to that higher power that came into my life and offered me that, what seemed like that flimsy reed, you know, of help, which was actually the loving hand of God coming into my life, and drew me right to the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and to the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, and to people who had experience with the big book Alcoholics Anonymous. But nothing like we have now. And, you know, but it was enough. It was enough for a time to keep me afloat. And I grew and I grew and I grew and I grew for 10 years. And then I grew and my life changed exponentially and in every way. And I mean, in miraculous ways, just miraculous ways. But I also had compulsive overeating, and I could not seem to get over the compulsive overeating and bulimia. And I kept the bulimia as secret as I could because there was so much shame involved with it. But you know, I kept thinking like, do I really have recovery? Do I really have recovery? Because I couldn't quite seem to get it. But the other part of me knew I had recovery. Really good recovery. And through a miracle, I was brought into the BBA. A woman reached out to me in an OA meeting. And it's funny because it was going to be the last meeting I was ever going to go to. I'm like, the solution's not there. I'm not getting it. I just can't find it there. And it's funny because whether it was I wasn't hearing it or it wasn't there, I don't know. But somewhere deep inside my heart, I actually knew it wasn't there until this one woman came to a meeting. And it was going to be the last meeting I ever went to. And it was funny because she said that she had a solution. And I was like, who do you think you are? And I didn't have a solution. It was so funny to me to look back and think that that's the way that I reacted to someone who said they had a solution. And she said she was willing to share it with anyone. And gratefully, I had enough pain on a certain day, and I reached out to her, and she opened this big book of, Alcoholics Anonymous with me. And we began the BBA process in a most powerful way that I never understood. And I got to understand the grave nature of my disease and how I didn't have the power to do anything any differently, and how on my own power, I would never be free of this obsession and this compulsion to eat compulsively and to, binge and purge the way I had been doing. And it was like, that was the key that unlocked the door for me, and it set me free. And I became free that very moment. But in order to stay free, I believe, I'm absolutely 100% sure, is that I have to continue to grow along spiritual lines and continue to seek God in all my affairs and continue to look for places where self-will is rearing its head again and trying to run the show. My life showed me that running the show was disastrous, but somehow now that I'm not using, now that I'm not eating, now that I'm not acting out in any of those compulsive ways, those symptoms aren't showing quite the same. I've been fortunate enough to have fear in my life and anxiety at times, which shows me that I need to remain in this program and continue to grow along spiritual lines, or else I'll go back out. I'm very clear about that the anxiety will get the best of me, the fear will take me out, and I will be out and running in one form or a fashion if I don't continue to grow. So I seek this solution with all of my might and all of my heart, because I can't take it. I can't take it when I'm in my own, when I'm in self, I just can't take it. And I've learned that that's a gift from my higher power. So, it says that we have to, I love the parts where it says that, that I'm a compulsive eater, I'm a bulimic, I'm a controller, I'm a chaos creator, and I cannot manage my own life. And what a gift that is, that I continue to keep forgetting every day. I can't manage my life. I don't have to manage my life. And that probably no other human power can. And I love that line because it means there's not a doctor that's going to tell me how to manage it correctly. There's not a therapist that's going to tell me how to manage my life correctly. There's not a best friend. There's not a spiritual advisor. It's going to be about God and me learning from God how to manage my life, me learning from God how to take direction so my life will become manageable, not me managing it. And that God could and would, can and will, if he sought. And for me, that's the one day at a time journey. I'm not sober or clean one day at a time, but I'm a God seeker one day at a time. I'm always in the inventory, and it tells me, that I'm gonna be looking for selfishness and self-centeredness and fear. And for me, those are indicators that I'm looking for, is where am I falling back into that trap that I have to manage life in my own strength and power. And for me, that's where fear will come up and anxiety will come up, because I think the weight of the world is resting on my shoulders, and that I have to have all the answers, and I have to know what to do, and I have to know how to handle things. And that is too much for me. So I'm just so grateful that we have all these tools and the work that we do, and that the book tells me that I'm going to make mistakes. I'm not going to get this. It's not an overnight matter. It's something that I'm going to be walking out, this path of faith and this path of trust and reliance upon my higher power in a way that I don't understand. And so it's going to be a one day at a time journey where I'm seeking the loving and powerful hand of God in my life, and really getting real every day to see, where that self-reliance is popping its head up again and again and again. Where are those old beliefs that I have to do it myself popping up again and again? Where are those old ideas that God's not here for me, which is agnosticism, right? I don't believe God's in my current day situation and that God is going to see me through anything. And when I go into meditation, and it was great this morning, it was like I felt like, and I'm sure it's BBA inspired as well, I felt my higher power saying, do you believe do you believe? You know, and I was going through all my little list of things that are scaring me. And I felt like he, my higher power, who I call he, was saying, Carol, do you believe? Do you? And I was like, I do. And, you know, that was just clearing the ground enough to make it through to be the beginning of the morning. And I'll probably have to go after at lunch and reassess again. And like, do you believe in yourself, Carol, or do you believe in me? Which one do you want to trust today? And my choice is always when I'm able to bring into sufficient consciousness and access God's power. My choice is always God. I know what happens when I trust in myself. It just doesn't go well. Even when my motives are good, and even when I think I know what's best, I don't. I always have to go and realign myself with a power that is right here in the present moment. Not looking into the future, right here in the present moment. If I'm right here in the present moment with God, trusting and relying on my higher power, the future is going to be fine and I don't have to worry about it. Sometimes I wanted to share this little quick story with you guys. I used to shoot pool with my dad many years ago in the bars. And my dad was a great pool shark, and I was pretty good too. And I love my dad. And he was like, you know, larger than life Hawaiian man who's just strong, and people, he led with authority, and people really kind of like looked at him like, oh, Tom. Anyway, we were playing a game of pool and I got stuck in a shot and I could not see it. And we were playing in a tournament, and me and my dad were partners, and I got stuck behind this shot. And I was like, I was looking at my dad at the other end of the table. And he was going, I was going, Dad, I don't have a shot, you know, quietly, Dad, I don't have a shot. And he was standing at the other end and he looked with his finger and he went right here and he pointed. And I was like, Dad, that'll never work. Dad, that'll never work. And I lined it up again and checked it. And I couldn't see how that shot would work. He put his finger down and he said, I said, right here. And I looked at him and I looked back again and he looked at me and he's like, trust me. And I took the shot, hit the ball, and the ball went in a way that I was unimaginable to. It's called a masse shot, but it was a way that it was unimaginable to me. And it went into the pocket like, boom. And what happened to me that long time ago was I saw something. I couldn't see what my father already knew. And I think about that so much in my faith life. I can't see something that my father knows, and I'd have to trust him. And when he says, Carol, right here, that means that I have to just have the faith to trust that he knows better than me and take that shot. And I just am so thankful for little visions like that. Even when I was out there, I was still out there when this happened, but I got it right then that my dad knew more than me. And that if I trusted him and took the shot, that it would go in. And I love to think about that sometimes when I'm walking through life and growing in spirituality, is that I can trust my dad. He knows better than me. Anyway, thanks for letting me be here with you guys. I love you.